Friends, I just did my annual economic briefing with author and Swiss America chairman Craig R. Smith, and what I discovered confirms my worst fears. Something is getting ready to happen that's going to change the course of world history, and not one in a thousand will believe it until it's already too late, and I don't want that to be you. After writing four important books accurately predicting the future of gold, oil, the dollar, and inflation, Mr. Smith is on the verge of releasing his next book, and this new CD covers the root issue of the coming crisis and offers three critical steps to protect your family from the fallout. Please call today for this hot new CD, The Future of Money. Toll free, 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. You've got to hear The Future of Money to believe it. 888-559-9920. 888-559-9920. Do it today.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensifies sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away, the problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com. That's HOTRAWKS.com. Or call us 855-RAW-LIFE. That's 855-729-5433.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Tom Cruise.
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, you're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. My lovely wife and co-host, Kimberly, is not in the studio with us today, but I'll be bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom with a very special guest today. On the line, we have Zoe O'Toole, who is a founding member of the Thinking Moms Revolution. Y'all remember the Thinking Moms Revolution from some of the shows we did at the Autism One Conference, and then we had another founding member on one of our earliest shows here at Linderman Unleashed as well. She is an actor with a degree in physics and a lifelong interest in autism, though she does not have a child with autism. She is a mother of a 13, and I like this description. She's a mother of a 13-year-old Renaissance woman in the making with ADHD and an almost 6-year-old who used to have apraxia. She feels that she owes the fact that her son does not have autism and no longer has apraxia to advice she received over the years from other thinking moms and dads. Thinking Moms Revolution is her way to pay it forward. Zoe, welcome to Linderman Unleashed.
Thank you, Kurt.
Well, I sure do appreciate you being here. There's no doubt about that. It was kind of a long time getting us together, and you know, working, and everything happens through Facebook, just like always. You know,
it's
really great. Now, explain this. You don't have a child with autism, but you account that to other thinking moms and dads. Explain yourself there.
Well, when my daughter was approximately a year old, I started hearing rumors about the MMR vaccine. And I started doing research and talking to other moms and dads and asking what they thought and reading the books that they were suggesting. And when I did that, the more I found out, the less I wanted to give her the MMR. And then the more I found out, the less I wanted to give her any vaccine. And over time, I decided I wasn't going to give any of my kids any vaccines ever again. And when my son was born, he didn't get vaccines, and he had some health issues, which you know, I dealt with one at a time with very little help with my from my pediatrician. But other moms would give me a suggestion, and I would go for it, and I'd figure out what was going on. And then I realized when he was about 18 months old, 20 months old, that he just wasn't talking as much as he should. And he seemed like the kind of kid who would be a talker. So it seemed out of character for him. So so I did some research, and I discovered apraxia, and thought, oh, this is exactly what is going on with him. Everything in the description was my son. So I have a friend who has a son who was on the autism spectrum, and she was within a network of people who were doing biomedical treatments for their kids with autism. And she said she had a couple of friends who were dealing with apraxia as well. And did I want to talk to them? I said, are you kidding? Of course I do. So they started giving me advice, and my son was getting speech therapy 5 days a week, and he was going 2 days a week to a man I know was wonderful and did great things for my daughter when she had speech with him. He's the head of the department at Long Island University, but nothing was happening in his speech therapy. And every time I did something that somebody had told me to do as far as a biomedical treatment was concerned.
Do you have a ice cream truck going by your house?
Yes, sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm just wondering if I could stop you from playing that music, but I figured, no, that's an ice cream truck.
It's an ice cream truck, you know, right outside the window. And sometimes they go right there. Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
So anyway, every time I would do something biomedical, like the first thing I did was add fish oils or make add them more anyway, and right away, more speech. Mm-hmm. Then I added in enzymes and probiotics, and suddenly we were getting sentences from a kid who couldn't put two syllables together. And I thought, whoa, there is something going on here. And then the more I found out what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. And one of the things I was doing right was I wasn't vaccinating. And I really think that the only difference between my son and the kids that I know who were in much worse shape is the fact that we didn't do vaccines.
So you didn't do any vaccines with him. So the speech came from somewhere else, obviously.
He had antibiotics at birth. He had antibiotics twice for ear infections. And he had food sensitivities very early on. So I know he had gut issues. And I think the gut issues were leading to pretty much everything else. And if we'd put vaccines on top of the gut issues, I think that's where we would have really overloaded the circuits.
Absolutely. Were you on, can I, and I know that I'm probably throwing you for a loop because we're just meeting on this program. We
right.
spoke for about 5 minutes prior to this, but were you on an organic diet or did you eat GMO foods, that sort of thing?
At that time, not strictly organic, but more than you'd think.
Okay.
We were part of a I don't even know what the phrase is for it, but we would get organic food delivered once a week in a box, organic fruits and vegetables and things like that, and I was pretty good. So yeah, I'm not great, not fabulous, but but I don't think I can attribute everything to that, because you know, I see kids around him who have no issues like that at all, who are much worse.
Right.
So yeah, that doesn't seem to be the kicker, you know. I mean, it certainly can be part of it.
Right. Without a doubt. Now, with the issues that your children had minus the vaccines, I can see where you would be worried about it. Seeing, you know, listening to other moms and reading the books that they were giving you and what have you. So you got into this whole paying it forward, like as you put it, paying it forward.
Right.
And you got involved with the Thinking Moms Revolution. Explain a little bit about how, because most of the Thinking Moms Revolution are all pretty much tight knit with the autism community. Explain
yes.
a little bit how you got involved with that.
Well, the same friend who got me involved in the first place, I actually ran across a homeopath that specialized in autism, and I kind of sent her in his direction. And she had wonderful things happen, and she told a few of her friends, and wonderful things happened. And so they started a network of people who were using that homeopath. And then I said, well, you know, does he do other things besides autism? And they said yes. So I ended up getting involved with that group directly that way. And that's how I actually met a number of the Thinking Moms, because a lot of them met up at Autism One, and I had not been there until this year. So I did not meet them that way. But we traded a lot of stories about homeopathy, and actually that's how I got my nickname, because my nickname on the Thinking Moms Revolution is Professor. And I had been doing homeopathy in some form or another for, about 20 years now. So I knew a lot more about it than a lot of the people who were coming into it for the first time. So that's how I got my...
And you wouldn't by chance be talking about Pierre Fontaine, would you?
Yes, actually, he was the homeopath that they were going to.
He's an absolute fabulous character.
He's an interesting character.
I just love him. I absolutely do. Okay, so what we've got here is we've got you're a founding member of the Thinking Moms Revolution, and we're dealing with this, what we all consider to be, and even you, without a child with autism, can perfectly well see this autism epidemic. And
oh, yeah.
The main reason we have you on the show today is because you happen to be one of the Thinking Moms Revolution members that actually went to the IACC meeting where everybody turned their backs on Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius. We're going to be talking about that issue. Let's just give, before we go to the first break, let's just give a quick idea of what got you involved with heading over there to the Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee meeting.
Well, I was aware of their existence. I guess the first time they really came into my knowledge was when Ari Naaman was nominated, and then I started hearing more and more about what they were doing or not doing. And it is our Federal Committee on Autism. That's really where all these decisions for research directions and money spent and how we're going to stop this epidemic should be coming from. And none of that is happening. And I've been noticing that, and I wasn't the only one noticing that. And the Thinking Moms have discussed this in a number of ways, in a number of behind the scenes, not so much on our pages,
mm-hmm.
until the Canary Party put out a call for people to come to protest. So I don't have a job at the moment, and my kids are off from school, and they're not going to camp. And I talked to my daughter, and she said, yeah, I want to go.
That's
I want
cool.
to be there. So I said, all right, let's go. So we rented a hotel 15 minutes away and packed up and went down there.
That's really cool. Your first foray into civil disobedience, I take it? With your children, at least?
With my, well, you know what? Actually, no, I did do an anti-Iraq war march, only it wasn't really officially a march, with my daughter when she was 3 years old. So yeah, I guess it's not entirely new for us.
Isn't that amazing? You have a 13-year-old daughter, and you did an anti-Iraq war 10 years ago, and it's still friggin' going on? How sad is that?
It's so sad, because it is exactly what we said would happen.
Yep. No
exactly.
doubt. No doubt. I'll tell you what, we're going to take
a quick break sometimes.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Thinking Moms Revolution member Zoe O'Toole. And we're going to talk about this IACC meeting as soon as we get back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com.
Are you concerned about the food supply, including GMOs, in your family's diet? With pesticides, herbicides, and questionable additives like MSG, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, and food dyes in most foods on the market today, you should be. Well, now there's an affordable alternative to high retail organic food prices. Announcing Box Organics, created by two families with children affected by autism that were not only concerned with the toxic ingredients in our conventional diets, but equally concerned with the high cost of providing their family nutritious organic foods. Box Organics offers USDA certified organic fruit, vegetables, dairy, dry goods, and meats delivered fresh, not frozen, directly to your door. We're an online store offering you substantial savings on the organic food that you want at your convenience. Ordering is easy. Box Organics currently offers free shipping in 15 states with a minimum purchase. Visit boxorganics.com. That's organics with an X.com today. Box Organics. Think and eat outside the box.
Hey Obama, the Lindermans refuse to lower their standards, so up yours. And now, back to Linderman Unleashed.
Two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave.
Hey, thanks for staying with us. I'd like to welcome you back to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. In the studio on the line is Zoe O'Toole, who is a Thinking Moms Revolution founding member, as well as a child of a mother of two children, and also went to the Canary Party Thinking Moms Revolution IACC, which is Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee meeting, where they really did what I call a little form of civil disobedience and turned their backs on Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, when she came in to speak. Zoe, tell us a little bit about getting to the meeting and what it was like when you were there and everything was going on.
Well, first thing when we got to the meeting as a group, before we got to the meeting, we actually went into a different conference room and said, okay, this can't be it, even though there's a sign out front saying something. But as it turns out, the actual meeting was around the corner, so we thought, oh, they're just redirecting us. But no, it was not true. They were not redirecting us. And there was a table at front where we had to sign in, and I had not, I did send in comments, but I was not scheduled to be one of the public comments at the meeting. So I had not pre-registered to be at the meeting, so I was a little concerned that they might not let me in, and especially with my kids and all, but they were okay about it. They just printed me up a little registration thing as I came in and asked me where I was from, and I said, Thinking Moms Revolution, and I liked having that actually down on the paper in
Absolutely.
Front of them. So then we went and had to find seats, and strategically, I think we did not end up picking the best seats, partly because we really didn't know what the setup was going to be. Secretary Sebelius ended up being at one end of the room by the door. I don't know if that was
planned,
but she was by the door, and we unfortunately were on the other side of the room, and there was this really awkward post in the middle of the room, where they had put up a screen so you could see better what was going on, like who was actually speaking. They had a camera on the person who was speaking, and you could see that on the screen on the post. But it meant that we were not in direct view of Secretary Sebelius when she was speaking. And that was a shame.
Well, I mean, were there doors on both sides of the conference room?
No, there were, well, how do we put this? It was kind of on its side. So the committee itself was on one side of the room in a U shape with a podium at the end. So you would think that the podium would be where people were going to go and make their comments, but really no one did until the public comments. Most of them just sat there in their seats, and we didn't know where Secretary Sebelius was going to be sitting. So,
well, wherever y'all had sat, she would have sat on the other side.
Yeah,
I think
that's quite possibly true. She would have chosen somewhere else. Because apparently they did know, to some extent anyway, that we were coming. Ginger said that that they had received a call asking if we were, I don't know, if we were going to chain ourselves just to railings or something.
Yeah, I spoke with Ginger about that, and they were wanting to know if you were going to chain yourselves to the gate out in front of the building. Yeah. We really need to start doing that.
We have to do something.
Yeah.
If something is not getting through, we're not loud enough. But, you know, Lisa goes, and Dave goes, and Dave and I were discussing this, and we both feel that the political route is just not going to happen. We're not being listened to, and we're going to continue to be ignored. And both of us feel that we have to take the fight to the common man, so to speak, or the common woman, as it is in many cases, because only when enough people are saying enough is enough, and I'm not going to get my kid vaccinated if this is what you're saying. You're still giving us... What am I allowed to say on the air anyway? The BS is okay, right?
Right, yeah, BS is okay.
But I won't say the full word. But yeah, we're getting the runaround. And we're going to continue to get the runaround because they think they can get away with it. And they've got to stop getting away with it.
Yeah.
And how do they not get away with it? They don't get away with it if they've got enough people standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to take this. And that's what we have to do. We have to get enough people standing up and saying, no, that's it. So that's what the Thinking Moms Revolution is about, I think. We're grassroots in the extreme. I was meditating on grassroots when I was pulling grass up out of my garden one day, and man, they are tough roots to get out.
That's right.
Yes, this is what we are. We are grassroots.
So then you're at the meeting, and there's things going on prior to Secretary Sebelius coming into the room, correct?
Right. They did a full introduction of every single member in the room, and that took about an hour.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it took a long time. And we got, you know, a little life story from all of them, I don't know if you had Jake on the show. Jake Crosby, I got to meet him up close and personal that day, and I've been reading his work for a long time, and he's great. He gets right in people's faces and says, you know, exactly what he's thinking. And his description of the people on the committee with autism, that they all don't believe in recovery. And to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, they talk about diversity. They want a diverse group of people, a diverse group of opinions on the committee. And yet all of the people with autism don't believe in recovery of autism.
Well, of course they don't, because they're on the committee. They're not sitting there beating their heads against the wall in a diaper at the age of 26.
Right.
These morons don't care about recovery because they're doing perfectly fine, for God's sake.
Right. Well, I wouldn't call them morons, but yeah, I mean, it's a different point of view. They have a life that most parents that I know would just die to have their children have. The level of... I have a good friend who has Asperger's, and he discovered it because his son was diagnosed with Asperger's. Now, this this man is more articulate than 90% of the people you're ever going to meet in your entire life. So you can't think of him as handicapped in any way.
Right.
Certainly, that's probably true for at least a percentage of the people with autism on the committee. You can't think of them as handicapped. So, of course, they're not going to be interested in recovery or cure or anything along those lines. And so it's hard for them to imagine, I guess, what it is that my friends are dealing with on a daily basis. Lisa and Dave, God love them. Their son Noah has had health issues like you can't even imagine having to deal with on a daily basis.
Well, and that's why I can call the ones that are up there that have what they call autism Asperger's morons. They're on that IACC committee. They know exactly what's going on. They're incredibly intelligent individuals. They know where this committee should be going and where it's not going.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not calling all Asperger's morons. God knows, I've got a son affected.
But one of the things that I do understand about that mindset is the feeling of threat. I get from people that they feel that if we want to cure it or wipe it out, then somehow that's not safe for them. And I understand that feeling. I don't think it's true, but I understand that feeling. I understand that it feels like people want you to go away and not be there. If what we're saying is this shouldn't be, this, we should not be getting this percentage of people who are neurologically impaired. And then I guess
the thing would be to once again get with the DSM and say get Asperger's the hell out of the autism diagnosis, because we have two definitely distinct different issues here.
I have thought for a long time that it does not serve either group of people to lump them together.
Yeah.
Because people with Asperger's, they become spokespeople for autism, and it's not the same thing.
Right. I fully believe that.
And then they become the spokespeople, and people think, well, autism is not that big a deal. And yeah, it is for the people we know. It's just, it's devastating what it does to your finances, what it does to your time, what it does to your relationships. It's really huge.
Yeah, no doubt. So we've got this whole meeting where they spend an hour with the dog and pony show, all loving on each other and everything else, and getting their little ego fix and what have you. And then what happens?
Then Secretary Sebelius comes in, and she gives her prepared comments. And as she was going through them, there were just times when I was cringing at the very least. And some of the, in particular, she started to talk about as recently as the 1990s, scientists thought autism was a rare disability that affected only one in every 2,000 kids. Now, right there, I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, scientists thought autism was a rare disability. That means that she's implying that it wasn't
right
rare disability in the 1990s. But it was. This is where my lifelong interest in autism comes in. I've known about and read every book on the subject on autism, not lately, because there are millions lately, but I read Sunrise when I was 14 years old, the year it came out. I had read already three or four books on autism before that. So I know the history of autism in this country, and I know it was rare. I know it with every fiber of my being. I did not know any children who fit the descriptions of my friends' children.
Right. And they're hard to miss.
They are hard to miss. It's hard to miss when you're worried about somebody not being able to speak in kindergarten. It's hard to miss when there's somebody's not toilet trained in kindergarten. It's hard to miss that. It really is.
Right. And, you know, it's also hard to miss. I don't remember, and God knows, my wife and I went through this. You go by a preschool or you go by a kindergarten nowadays, and there's always at least one kid that's walking the perimeter of the fence all by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And I never saw that as a child. Yeah. And my son did it.
Oh. Yeah, to me, that's one of the hardest things to deal with is so many of these children are so isolated.
Yeah.
They feel, you know, they feel they're on the outside and they can't figure out a way to connect. And I know from hearing about children who were recovered, who actually remember those times, that a lot of times they're much more aware than we know they are.
Oh, I guarantee it.
they remember details about things that you can't even believe they can remember, and it will be crystal clear. And so you know that they know they're on the outside. They know that, and they can't figure out a way to change that.
Well, that's like there was a time my son was in third grade. He didn't talk very much at all. The teachers thought that, you know, we had a teacher that was just a ridiculous teacher. And she was like, he can't hear me anyways. I'll talk in front of him. But yet he could barely talk. But yet when he got in the car with somebody he was comfortable with, we had to drive 5 miles to take him to school. And he could tell us exactly how to get home by the names of the streets.
Wow.
And every street that we passed that was an intersection, we could ask him, Caden, what's this street that we're passing right now? That's Maple Street. He would just say Maple. But
yep.
he knew exactly where he was. He could have walked to school. But yet this teacher thought, because he couldn't talk to her, because he was frightened of her, because he couldn't talk to her, you know, he was stupid. It's ridiculous what's going on.
It is. My son, he was apraxic, and it's taken him a while to learn to be able to talk to strangers. And when he was in pre-K, he had two teachers. And at his, close to the end of the year, we had a parent-teacher conference. And I sat down with one of the teachers, actually, his father and I did. And we were discussing the speech issue, because he had learned a lot and changed a lot over that year. And she said, yeah, I see how he has this difficulty with strangers and won't talk right away and that kind of thing. She said she was talking to the other teacher, and the teacher said, Beckett doesn't talk that much, does he? And she said, what are you kidding? He never shuts up. And it's that way. My son felt much more comfortable with one of the teachers than he did with the other one. And
right.
One, he never shut up, and the other one thought he didn't talk.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, we are going to get to this IACC meeting in Kathleen Sebelius as soon as we get back from the break. This is our last break. We're here for another half hour. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Friends, I just did my annual economic briefing with author and Swiss America chairman Craig R. Smith, and what I discovered confirms my worst fears. Something is getting ready to happen that's going to change the course of world history, and not one in a thousand will believe it until it's already too late, and I don't want that to be you. After writing 4 important books accurately predicting the future of gold, oil, the dollar, and inflation, Mr. Smith is on the verge of releasing his next book, and this new CD covers the root issue of the coming crisis and offers 3 critical steps to protect your family from the fallout. Please call today for this hot new CD, The Future of Money. Toll free, 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. You've got to hear The Future of Money to believe it. 888-559-9920, 888-559-9920. Do it today.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensifies sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away. The problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com. That's HOTRAWKS.com or call us 855-RAW-LIFE. That's 855-729-5433.
Hey, Doc, why don't you listen to Linderman Unleashed?
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. Staying with us for the full hour today is Zoe. We weren't sure exactly how long this was going to take, but when you start just talking and rehashing things, it's going to be the full hour. Zoe, so we've got everything going on now. Kathleen Sebelius comes in, and she's talking about, and you know, I've got the her notes, her speech, whatever you want to call it, presentation in front of me, and she does, the way she talks about that the 1990s thing is, it really does sound like she's setting it up for, oh, we just thought it wasn't that big. The numbers really aren't that big anymore. You know, no difference.
She counters that later on, I noticed, when she does say something about that the increasing prevalence, or the growing prevalence is the word she used, and increasingly more services for adults in the community. But you get the feeling from the overall tenor of her comments that there should be a huge number of adults with autism running around that we're not serving. And that's just not true.
Exactly. No doubt about that at all. Now, she also adds, when it comes to autism specifically, and during this whole thing, y'all have your backs turned to her, correct?
Right. Well, not her original. We allowed her to say her original comments. Then Mark Blackwell gave the signal, and we stood up and turned around. And then we stayed standing while she had comments from the committee, Lynn Redwood and Jerry Dawson and a couple of others. Spoke directly to her, and then she responded to their comments, and we stayed through until she finished her comments and left the room.
Gotcha. And that was basically the civil disobedience, I guess you could call it, the protest. And right. What did the back of the shirt say?
The back of the shirt says, Sebelius turned her back on the autism epidemic again. And the front of my shirt says $1 billion wasted researching what doesn't cause autism.
And that's true. And in this, in her statements, her original statements, it says, talking about the fact that thanks to this committee and what have you, that we've done a lot of great research into looking at the cause of autism. They haven't done a damn thing.
It's just, we're beginning to learn more about the causes. We're gaining a better understanding of how important interventions can be. I don't see any of that. I sent you my comments that I sent to the committee, and what I know about autism and its causes and the people who are most vulnerable to it, I know so much more than I've ever heard out of any official source.
Oh, exactly. There are so many autism moms out there that could just take a virologist, an autism researcher, a pediatrician, and run them into the ground.
Absolutely.
These moms are so...
Particularly, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, she also talks about, for example, she says, today, autism research supported by NIH and many advocacy organizations is addressing nearly every major objective in the strategic plan. You know, the problem is the strategic plan sucks.
It does. It does. And that's basically what Lynn Redwood was saying, too. I believe she was the only one who, I think there were two who brought up the V word, as we call it, which, you know, we all know that much of the research that needs to be done is about vaccines and the schedule and which ones are contraindicated for whom, and it's just not being done.
Well, you know, they've got this strategic plan. It's like your house is on fire. If your strategic plan is to run into a closet, you make it, you've done your strategic plan. It doesn't mean you're not going to die.
With you in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. The strategic plan sucks. So what good is the committee? I am so sick and tired of the IACC. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not going in the right direction. It's not getting anything done. And as Lynn Redwood pointed out too, they don't have the authority to say this needs to be done. They can only suggest.
So who do they suggest it to? Congress?
To Secretary Sebelius, who basically parcels it out to her various agencies. They are essentially a consulting body. You know, they I forget how she put it, whether she's going to take their advisement or that kind of thing. You know, it's that they advise her about autism. But that means that even their advice doesn't have any teeth. Even whatever they say should be done, which isn't enough, as we know, doesn't have to get done.
Well, and I think that that's just a little safety net there in case something actually starts getting done.
Right.
And Kathleen Sebelius can say,
yeah,
she could say, oh, I'll take that under advisement because we're not going to do that, you know.
Right.
The other thing that they're talking about is autism centers of excellence. And I've been talking to some insiders when it comes to this. And we discussed it a little bit just prior to the program. And those things scare the hell out of me because as of right now, what I'm learning is that these autism centers of excellence is basically parents giving up their rights to their children and basically sending them to a lab to be guinea pigs. Because it's all about research.
Yeah, and what kind of research? As we were saying, the research so far seems to be genetic.
Well,
it's not exactly going to help them.
And the fact of the matter is, if this is all part of the strategic plan under the IACC and Kathleen Sebelius' HHS, what we have here is, you know, it's not going to be productive research with anything other than pharmaceuticals.
Right, right. Unfortunately, that is the paradigm that we're living under, that drugs are healthcare rather than, in 90% of the cases, from what I've seen, it's the drugs that are causing many of the, like vaccines, they're a drug. And antibiotics, the overuse of antibiotics, that doesn't get enough emphasis, I don't think, because I think it's behind, or at least a huge part of, many cases of autism. How many of the kids do you hear had repeated ear infections when they were kids? That stuff, high dose antibiotics over and over again, that wipes out the gut system, and the gut system is 90% of your immune system. And how are you going to be able to keep homeostasis, as my biology teacher in high school would say, if your immune system is not working? You just can't.
We talk about it all the time on Linderman Unleashed, exactly that issue. Now, Lynn Redwood did make a statement like you were referring to. She served as a public member of the IACC since 2007, and she commented to Secretary Sebelius, "We are in a crisis mode. We desperately need your help." Geraldine Dawson, Chief Science Officer for Autism Speaks, said, "We need to move from an academic exercise to one where we start seeing these real issues that I've just outlined changed over the next course of our work together." I'll tell you what, they don't even consider. What's amazing to me is HHS and the CDC can look at 214 cases of measles in the entire United States, calls it an epidemic, but we've got 1 in 88 kids diagnosed with autism, and it's a concern.
Right, right. I can't even tell you how much this whacks me out. I read something with the WNBC's bioethicist wrote something that came out yesterday, I think.
Yeah, you got to listen to Friday's show.
Was it on Friday?
Yeah, I talked. You talking about Art Kaplan?
Yes.
Oh my God. You got to listen to Friday's show.
Oh my God. I ripped him apart in a post on Facebook. The scary number of diseases he's talking about is 2, and one of them is 214 cases. Give me a break. I said, that doesn't scare me in the least. What scares me is the 1 in 88 with autism, the 1 in 10 with asthma, nearly 50% of kids who are sick chronically. That scares me.
Yeah, definitely check out Friday's show. I run him through the ringer. This is what Kathleen Sebelius said about Redwood and Dawson's remarks. Well, let me just say that I appreciate the sense of urgency and the sense of crisis. I don't have the personal experience that many of you have as either a diagnosed person with autism or a family member, so I don't pretend to share that personal expertise. I will tell you there is a sense of urgency, and I'm a believer that often an individual office or more isolating is more isolating than having a range of services that are focused on NIH, CDC, HRSA. Out of our 11 agencies, the FDA, we have individuals in all those who really are working on this day in and day out. BS.
Right.
You know, if you are working on, well, I guess if they have a strategic plan that sucks, I guess it's working.
Right. And we do not have enough research going on at this point. Well, yeah. Yeah.
They've got all kinds of research, but nothing else. Now, after this meeting, after the turning the backs on the secretary, you had a press conference, correct?
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the press conference.
Well, it was some of the more prominent members of the Canary Party and EBCALA were involved, and they included Mary Holland and Katie Wright and Mark Blaxall and Jake Crosby and Jennifer Larson, and they all said more intelligent things than the 90% of the people on the committee about what wasn't happening and what isn't being addressed and what should be addressed going forward and what needs to be addressed for this, the overall good of this country. It needs to be addressed. So many of them said essentially the same thing when we went back into the room and they got to say their public comments. Mark and Jake and Mary Holland were on the schedule, and they made their comments quite similarly to what was in the press conference. And they were all good. And the people who weren't even involved with the Canary Party who made their comments were also critical of the committee insofar as what they were not covering. The things that they brought up that were worth covering made much more sense than more genetic studies. So it's frustrating to have sat there and watched that and then know later on they didn't even address the public comments in that meeting. They said they were going to, but they didn't. And then they had another meeting afterwards where I haven't gotten a chance to read it myself, but I've heard that they haven't even mentioned or addressed or in any way taken in the public comments and criticisms about what's been going on.
Oh, they're not going to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a given. We've been doing this since 2007, really. Well, 2008, complaining about this. They're not going to do it. Now, I would like your opinion on this, Zoe, because I have my opinion. I don't know how much you listen to the program or what have you, but my opinion is this is right on schedule. This is exactly what they want, a dumbed-down society. Now, they're dumbing down most of us with the vaccines, and a couple of them are getting, you know, 1 in 88 are getting more damage than others, but this is exactly the protocol. This is their agenda, their strategic plan.
I don't go that far.
Right.
I think what it is the profit motive. I think it's the profit motive of the vaccine manufacturers. They're making $33 billion on vaccines this year. the CDC is filled with people from the vaccine industry. And the people who approve the vaccines are filled with people from the vaccine industry. And there's a revolving door between those two things. So they're in each other's pockets. They are making a lot of money on this. And I guarantee you, those people who are not actively being employed by vaccine manufacturers while they're in the CDC or whatever, they have lots of stock. You know they have stock in those companies, because they know that they're going to be approving the vaccines, and there are going to be millions and millions of kids who are getting these vaccines. So there's a huge profit motive, and that's enough, I think, to explain a lot of this. And the other aspect is the people who are covering their butts. What's going to happen when people find out that people knew about this and they didn't do anything to stop it?
Well, I guess my issue with that is there's too many people out there that I honestly believe, if it were just for profit, that once they were seeing the damage done on such a grand scale, that somebody would have to come forward, unless it was part of the agenda, unless everybody knew this was happening.
Well, I don't. Yes and no, because the people who come forward, look what happens to them.
Yeah.
They get just lambasted in the media right away, immediately, no questions asked. So I don't think it's an agenda, but I think it's something that is definitely being allowed to happen, and because a lot of people are making money off of it. And I do think some people really believe in this. I think they're deluded at this point because they're just ignoring all the evidence in front of them. You must have read Vaccine Epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember whose chapter it was, but it was this great description of how way back in 1900, whatever it was, when smallpox was the suit about smallpox, the smallpox vaccination. One guy didn't want to have the smallpox vaccination, so they sued him basically to have it, and the court decided that okay, yes, they could say that he had to have it, but what was the penalty for not having it was a fine. So they didn't even make him have the smallpox vaccine, but they fined him, and that seemed reasonable. So therefore, since that was reasonable, that every time a new vaccine came out, well, it was reasonable to add one more. It's reasonable to add the pertussis because a lot of kids were dying of whooping cough. It's reasonable to add diphtheria because a lot of kids were dying of diphtheria. And it's reasonable, and it's reasonable, and it's reasonable, until suddenly you have to realize that it's not reasonable anymore. It's like the person in the book described it as a short man who is 5 feet tall. If you added a centimeter to his height, he's still short. That's not the difference between short and tall. So, you know, you add one vaccine and it's still reasonable. And one vaccine and one vaccine, you add a centimeter, a centimeter, a centimeter, until suddenly you've got a 6'1" short man. Like we have 45 vaccines before the age of 6, reasonable schedule.
Right.
It's not reasonable in any way, shape, or form. I remember when I found out what the hepatitis B vaccine was for, I was furious. I thought, what in hell are they doing requiring my newborn to have this shot? It makes no sense.
Well, providing, you know, considering the fact that the only way you get Hep B is by having sex or sharing needles.
But my kid is going to be doing things that could give her AIDS? I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, it's just gotten to the point, honestly, where I just feel that there's a bigger agenda than just greed. I find it hard to believe that it could be just greed, especially when I look at Kathleen Sebelius as a whole person. She is one evil, despicable person, and I'm not talking about just this IACC crap. I'm talking about the entire person. That woman has a black soul.
Well, I don't know enough about her individually to be able to make that kind of a determination. But I think, you know, it's enough evil to turn away when you see evil happening. You don't have to be wanting it to happen or pushing it to happen, it's evil enough to just turn away.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So after the press conference, you go back in, they make public statements and everything at this IACC meeting. Everybody's adjourning now and what have you. What is your overall sense of how you were paid attention to as a group? Was there people there that actually looked like they really gave a damn that you bothered to show up?
A few. As a group, as a whole, no. It's kind of like the whole autism situation in the first place. You know, there are people who are horrified, who are paying attention, who want to help. But that's such a small percentage of the population. The vast majority of the population says, well, that doesn't apply to me, so I'm okay. And that's the same feeling I had.
You know, and it's amazing when you and I and people like us think about people that think that way, because this epidemic is going to affect every single person on this planet.
It's going to affect every... It's so close to doing that already. We are so close to the tipping point where it's going to be too late to pull back, because as it is, what is it, 3% of the boys in New Jersey are on the spectrum? 3% of the boys. Imagine what that's going to do to the economy in the future in New Jersey, and the armed services, and Social Security coming down the line. It's going to bankrupt this company, country at the very least.
Yeah, and, you know, the property taxes are going to go up. Your property taxes pay for the schools where these kids can't be taken care of.
And every special education program in the country is overwhelmed.
Right.
Every one. They're overwhelmed. They're not able to provide all the services they'd like to, or they need to, or they should. And it seemed that when we were gaining ground on things like cerebral palsy, fewer children were getting cerebral palsy. It seemed like we were gaining ground with March of Dimes. You know, things were improving in that regard. And so the special education programs, you would think, would have fewer and fewer people to cater to. And not only is that not true, they're exploding.
Well, and that's an indictment on the vaccines themselves, because I thought this whole idea of vaccination was to have a healthier youth, and look what's happened.
Exactly. I mean, people always, they talk with this huge fear around measles and chicken pox and things like that. And when I was a kid in the 60s, every other kid got the measles.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the measles. I got two different measles shots and still got the measles. I got the mumps shot and got the mumps shot and the mumps from the mumps shot, and I gave it to someone else because I didn't know that they shed. And so, back in the 60s, when all these horrible illnesses were killing people right and left, people did not have. I ended up with asthma and allergies after that mumps shot, suspiciously enough.
Yeah, me too.
And and so I was approximately 11 years old. My brother had it. Same time, he got asthma and allergies at a much younger age. And none of my older brothers and sisters, I have six older brothers and sisters, none of them had asthma or allergies growing up.
Exactly. You know, it really is an indictment on the system. There's no doubt about that. I'll tell you what, we are running out of time. Any last thoughts on what people could do, how they or should they get involved? Just a couple of last thoughts.
Well, I think... every little bit of involvement that anybody can do, like Megan said, just show up.
Right.
Just be one of the numbers. Just do whatever you can to make them know we're here and that we're done.
And we're not going to shut up.
And we're not going to shut up.
That's right.
There's no way we are going to shut up. And all the no matter how much they can discredit Andrew Wakefield or whoever else. That is not no one person, no one thing is central to what's going on. We know what's going on, and we're not going to shut up.
That's right. Well said. Zoe, I want you to stay on the line until I sign off. That way we could speak briefly after the program.
Okay.
Thanks for being on Linderman Unleashed. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
All right, people. Don't forget thinkingmomsrevolution.com. Check it out. There's just a number of great blogs on there. It is a great site, and I know most of the moms that are a part of this group. I know many of them personally, and they're wonderful thinking moms. No doubt about that. Warrior mothers, without a doubt. I want to thank everybody for being on the Monday, being listening to the Monday edition of Linderman Unleashed. We're going to be right back here tomorrow, 5 days a week. We're bringing it to you. And don't forget, here on Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Y'all have a great one.